So just out of curiosity, for those that were here last week, what did y'all think of that that sermon that Jacob preached? That was pretty good. It was okay. No, I'm just kidding. It was really good. Now, what's really interesting about it, and Jacob pointed it out, and I want to make sure that every one of you really hears this clearly, especially if you are a youth. You should be enjoying life. You should be going out and doing whatever brings you joy, obviously to a certain point, right? And Jacob pointed that out. He said, go and live life, but remember that you still have to give an account for what you have to do or what you've done. I know that there have been times in my life as a younger person, there were risks that I didn't take. And I often wonder, was it good that I didn't take a risk? One of the risks that I could have done was we had the opportunity to, after college, we could have moved to Australia and go to the Lutheran seminary in Australia. And one of the reasons why we could do that was, first of all, we had no kids, so it's a little bit easier. We were newly married. And also it was great because the Lutheran Church of Australia, they had a deal that if you went to their seminary and then you stayed for 5 years, all right, touchdown. Yeah, it's not football season right now, so. Was that a hockey goal? Yeah, yeah. It is hockey season, woo, let me tell you. Yeah. So if I would have gone to the Lutheran Church of Australia seminary, and if I would have stayed for 5 years after my seminary training, they would have then forgiven all of my debt for seminary training. So that's kind of a good thing, you know, especially as a pastor. It's not like we make a whole lot of money. We make good money. We're thankful for it. But wow, I could have then graduated seminary with like zero debt. That would be impressive. And I remember Heather and I talked about it a lot. And we ultimately chose not to go. But I do think, do you ever feel in the back of your head like, huh, that might have been fun to do? Yeah. I wish that in college back in our day that I wish we had more opportunities to go overseas and do stuff. You know, as Jacob has gone around the world, I know other college students who do a semester in Cambridge, others do a semester in Ireland. It's kind of fun, and you got to wonder, as a youth, what should I be doing? And my encouragement, and this is God's encouragement, is you should be living life to the fullest. Absolutely. Do not pay too close attention to old people like me who say, no, it's better if you play it safe and just get a job and, you know, make some money and then you'll be fine. Because sometimes that comes from a sense of regret that we followed that path. You as young people should be excited about life because this is a refrain in the book of Ecclesiastes, because guess what's going to happen to you one day? You are going to die. Isn't that great? Yeah. So you are going to die someday. Some of you sooner than others. And I think that this was one of the reasons that accelerated the relationship that I had with Heather during college. Some people talk to us, because I don't know if you know this, Heather and I got married in between our junior and senior year of college. And of course, there was a lot of consternation, especially from parents who were like, why don't you graduate college first and then get married? And we're like, yeah, that's really nice and all. And they're like, well, if you love each other, you could still go ahead and wait. We had all this wonderful advice, but there was something that specifically happened to us which caused us to rethink that, and that was the car accident that almost killed us. And that was where we realized life is fleeting. Life can end at any moment. And why in the world are we waiting for certain things when instead God says, live life to the fullest? And so we talked, we prayed, and then we ultimately said, this is what we are going to go ahead and do. We're going to get married. Your encouragement is to live life to the fullest because one day you're going to die. How do we then live life to the fullest? For those of you who are new this week, we've been walking through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we've learned a lot of incredible lessons. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes has told us with wisdom that he has done it all. He is super duper wealthy, And this guy would throw lavish parties constantly. And he said, with all of the partying, all of the money, all of the wonderful things that we got from people who loved us because of our money, it was ultimately unsatisfying. And he came to the conclusion that a woman for meaningless. And then he ended up talking about sex. This guy had a woman for, he could have a different woman every night of the week, or every night for 2 years and not repeat the same woman. Now, that's someone who is definitely doing a lot. Not good, but they experienced all that. And he came to the conclusion, he said, that is also meaningless. He also said, I've searched and searched and searched, and I have looked for wisdom, and I have tried to grow in knowledge, and I tried to learn as much as I can humanly possibly learn. And every time I grow and every time I gain knowledge, I'll come to another conclusion. Knowledge is meaningless. So all you college students, drop out because it's meaningless. No, don't do that. Wisdom says you shouldn't. So this is where we come to the conclusion, life is meaningless outside of God. And the reason why life is meaningless outside of God is if you don't have God, then you don't believe in an afterlife. If you don't believe in an afterlife, that means all you've got is today and tomorrow and however long you live. And all of that stuff that you're going to engage in is ultimately going to be meaningless. Because you might get married, but guess what? Your marriage is meaningless outside of God. You might have kids. Kids are meaningless outside of God. They are rotten creatures that are just, they pull your hair and they puke on you, and it's disgusting. Heather, just so you know, when I said that, your father raised his cup like, amen. So, now Heather's the good one, right? Oh, I better be careful. Sometimes Kim watches this too. So, having children is meaningless outside of God. Buying a big house is meaningless outside of God. Amassing riches outside of God is meaningless. Outside of God, nothing matters. So the most important thing we come to the conclusion of is God must be a part of your life, for without it, there's no meaning. But if you have God, everything now has meaning. Now you get a job to the glory of God. You graduate high school to the glory of God. You go out on Friday nights to a bonfire at the beach to the glory of God. You drink a triple foam, half calf, extra hot macchiato to the glory of God. You have children to the glory of God. You raise them and you take them to soccer practice to the glory of God. You teach them handbells to the glory of God. Everything now has meaning. And then how do we then live our life? Because you are all on a trajectory towards death. Now, what's really interesting is this next section is going to describe in decent detail what it's like to get old. Now, I'm going to be very interested as I do this. I'm going to be looking at my young at hearts. be careful how I say it. Because, what is the definition of old, right? I remember when I was a teenager, anyone over 40 was old. Is that about the same? Daisy says yes. Is it anything over, or is it higher than that? 50? You'd go 50. I'm 49. Yes, yes. Woo! Yeah, and you turned 50 2 weeks ago, so you are now old. Hey, way to go. get off my lawn. So it's going to be funny because as we study this, all of the young at heart people are going to be like, yep. And all of you young people are like, what? Is that really what happens to you? Yeah, it is. Check out what happened. So he's going to start giving, it's very interesting. He's going to describe a town that is maybe facing challenges. It's going into the winter months. Darkness is more around. There's locusts eating crops. People are no longer out dancing in the streets. It's almost like this foreboding thing that comes. But what's really interesting about it is the way it describes also the human body. So I'm going to point out both of them because as I studied this, they're like, this has nothing to do with an allegory on the human body. And I'm like, after I read it and I listen to other guys, no, it's an allegory on the human body. Yeah, it's you're going to read and go, yep, that's true. Yep, that's true. But also it's this other thing. So what should you do? Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. When you are young, enjoy life, but remember your creator. Don't just go out and live because that's meaningless. Go out and live to the glory of God, remembering your creator, and you will find great pleasure in them. Because there is going to come a day, young people, when it will not be quite so pleasurable. And this is how he then describes it. Verse 2, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. And the clouds return after the rain. Now check out this. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. Have you ever seen people are maybe getting older and they're shaking a little bit more? And you're like, what's happening? That's what happens sometimes. You get older, you might start getting the shakes. And young people, you're like, what? That is crazy. No, it happens, right? Young at heart people, like I'm just checking to see if this... Now, check this out. And the grinders cease because they are few. Now, this is talking about women who would be grinding at the mill and blah, blah, blah. But there's another way you can also understand it. When the grinders are few, yes, you are going to lose your teeth. Isn't that wonderful? I remember when I was hanging out with some pastors, there was a group of us that were meeting together, and I will never forget when we were at Island's Restaurant, and I bit into a hamburger. It's a hamburger. Like, what is hard in a hamburger? There's nothing hard. It's soft meat. It's, you know, lettuce, a crisp piece of lettuce. And I remember I bit into it, and I felt something happen in my teeth. Has this happened to you? Yeah, some of you are like, yes, this is. And it's right here. And thankfully, it's on the back side. I lost half my tooth on the back side. Yeah, and it was really weird because I'm sitting there going. And then I took another bite, and guess what happened? Half my tooth fell off. Now, this was, I'm going to say that this was was from something earlier. When I was a kid, I had busted my tooth. I'd fallen over on my bike, and I hit my face right on the pavement, and it cracked the tooth in half, and I went to the dentist, and back in those days, they would drill a little tiny hole in my tooth and a little tiny hole in the piece, and they would put a piece of metal in there, and then they'd glue it up there, and that'd be it. Well, what had happened is through the years, it started to rust, so my tooth was always kind of weird. Yeah, I know that. This is what happens when you get old. Brush your teeth. Floss. And so it started to rust more and more, and then I took a bite of that hamburger, and boom, half of it, it broke. On a hamburger. And I remember I was looking around for a dentist. The dentist we have now, we didn't know about. And so I remember going to a place. I'm like, can you fix this? And I have my little half tooth. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, do you need like a pin or something? Like, they're like, a pin? Like, what are you, from the 80s or something? What's wrong with you? Like, no, like, we just put some glue on it. You'll be fine. I'm like, glue, it's going to fall off. They're like, no, it's not going to fall off. So even to this day, like, it's like Gorilla Glue. It tastes better. But yeah. But I'm waiting for the day. There's going to come a time. I'm going to be around you. I'm going to take a bite of a hamburger, and it's going to break, and I'm going to be like, hey, how you doing there? Okay. Hey, it's good night seeing you. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. How you doing? Oh, no, my nose just itches. That's all. There's nothing big. Yeah, there's going to come a day you're going to lose your teeth. Isn't this a great sermon? Your grinders cease because they are few. You're going to be gumming your food. And those looking through the windows grows dim. What is that in reference to? Cataracts. There was a day I did not wear glasses. When I was young and spry, my eyes were perfect. They were awesome. And already, as I'm getting older and older, it's getting harder and harder to see. And then you get older, and it gets even more difficult. It's hard. You're going to lose your eyesight. And right now, all the older people are like, yep, that's right. Am I right? Am I looking around? No, yeah, don't nod too big, because that's going to give it away that you're one of the old people. That's okay. Your eyes are going to grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, and he's going to bring it up a little bit later, what's that mean? You start losing your hearing. Oh, man. I personally loved being around older people that had lost their hearing. It was fun. I was in the Boy Scouts, and my scoutmaster, Len Hartnett, we always loved camping with Len Hartnett because of his hearing aids. We would just wait for a certain time period, you know, about an hour after we're supposed to be in bed and sleeping. That's when Len Hartnett would take out his hearing aids, and it was fantastic because we could do anything, and that guy wouldn't hear a thing. So that's why. What happens? Yeah, you gotta turn up the hearing. Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal. But then when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When do old people wake up? Like 2 a.m. Yeah. Everyone's like, yes. Yeah. So all you young people, when you go to bed at 2, that's when we're waking up and going, I gotta go to the bathroom. Yeah, it's terrible. No, yeah, that way, that, yeah. Yeah. Heather's really, she's really into this one, but it's true. It's going to be tough. You're going to wake up in the middle of the, and then, verse 5, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, and it's tough as you get older, there's a greater fear that comes. And I'm telling you right now, some of the fear is very, very real, because a lot of these attacks that are happening right now that we see in the news, who are they against? The older people. Why? Because they're going to have a harder time defending themselves. It's absolutely terrifying of what's going to happen with me if I'm too old and I can't defend myself. And then he goes on and he says, and when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. So almond trees would be like an aphrodisiac. It'd be like, hey, this is great. But then all of a sudden, desire is no longer there. Yeah, this is Viagra. This is what we're talking about. Yeah, there's going to come a day when you get older that you will... No, this is biblical, baby. This is scripture, man. I'm sorry, Marcy. She's going to go back, and they're going to be like, what'd you talk about at church? We talked about Viagra. This is great. But yeah, there's going to come a day when you're going to have the desire, but it starts to fade, and you need a little extra help. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. I don't... And then he goes, I'll go on. Is that good? You're like, are you guys uncomfortable talking about this? Because then look what happens at the end of verse 5. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the street. There's going to come a day you're going to die. And it's very poetic the way it says, remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Now, of course, why is this stuff in here? Well, I think, first of all, it's supposed to help us in two ways. First of all, if you are young, enjoy your life. And sometimes people will speak against that because we're jealous. Years ago, there was a song that came out It was actually a speech. It was written in 1997, and it referenced this person who said, "I want to try and create a graduation speech." And so this lady decided, I'm going to do this graduation speech. And so then a guy by the name of Baz Luhrmann picked up on it, and he found this thing, and he put it to, well, not to lyrics, not to a music, but there was some background music. And the title of the song was, "Everyone is Free to Wear Sunscreen." It's kind of, yeah, you remember that, yeah. Usually it's just wear sunscreen is kind of the thing. And it's this concept of trying to say, how do I encourage the next group of people? Scientific proof of wearing sunscreen is super helpful to you and your life, while the rest of the stuff that I'm going to dispense to you is just my own meanderings. And one of the things that they said, I love it, it's right near the beginning. That's why it's great for Ecclesiastes. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and the beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. You can amen that one, yeah. Because, I remember being a youth, and I remember I felt that I was fat. And I remember I would sit down. I used to play the trombone. I'd sit down and, stuff that with your legs then kind of move to the side, and there's all this goo there, and I'm like, I'm fat. And I was like, always fat. And now I look back and I go, man, I look good 20 years ago. What happened to me? I look good now. Thank you, baby. You're so wonderful to me. If you are young, enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. There will come a day that it will fade. If you're going to rely on your looks to get you through life, that's meaningless, because that is going to fade. If you're going to rely on your energy level to get you through life, guess what? That's going to fade too. If you are going to rely on the money that you're going to make, that could also fade too. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. You are not as fat as you imagine, and do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. That's another line. Enjoy life, because you are going, and now, if you are older, sometimes we put too much emphasis on the fact that our earthly tent is fading away. I hated it when my eye cracked. I hate it when I gain weight. When I was young, I used to eat just garbage and stayed relatively skinny. Now, I have one bite of a dessert and I gain 12 pounds. It is horrible, right? Yeah, Heather's like, preach that. So enjoy the stuff that you are facing now as an older person is not a reflection on your viability of life. I have a friend on Facebook, and she is, I'm not too sure where she's at. I think she is in Japan, but I'm not entirely certain. And she turned 60. And do you want to know what happens when you turn 60 in some of those countries? They have a party because you have made it to the age of 60. And in those cultures, they celebrate those who have made it a long time. I know you feel old. I know you feel tired. I know you feel like I can't keep up with these young guys. No, praise God, you're still around. Yeah, your back may hurt, but you're still alive. Yeah, you may not be able to hear very well. You're still alive. Yeah, you may have to get up 3 times in the middle of the night, but you're still alive. Celebrate the fact that God is sustaining you and that you have work to do. So he's finally going to get down to the conclusion of the matter. What is the end? The people. Not only he pondered and searched, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. So he's setting us up. He is going to boil everything down for us. What does this all mean? How should we now live? If life is meaningless outside of God, how should you live? Do you ever ask that question? Please don't ever get caught in the rat race of wake up, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, do the dishes, watch some news, go to bed, lather, rinse, repeat. You have a purpose in here. You have a reason to be alive. What is that reason? How should we live? Yes, for those of you who are younger, your goal in life is not to just simply graduate and get a job. Now, graduate and get a job, just to let you know, I'm just saying. But that is not your number one purpose. Your purpose is not to simply procreate. Your purpose is not to just simply suck oxygen from the room. You have a purpose. What is that purpose? This is straight from God's word. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son. And we grow from God and we hear things. Sometimes it hurts. Wisdom is pain. Life is pain. Learning to follow God is pain. Living this life is pain. But there's going to be times you're going to be like, and it's, I want to stab you a little bit. It's going to hurt. You're like, well, I don't want to do this. And then God's going to come along with a little goat. He's going to be like, hey, you should really think about this. That's the way life's supposed to be. If you can live your life without walls, that's depressing. And it's false. Instead, your life has meaning because of God and what he's making. Given books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. And every teenager said, amen. Amen. Oh, man. Of much study. Who here are my overthinkers? Raise them high. Come on, be proud. Yes. So you're the ones that you have something before you and you're like, I need to make a decision. And so you analyze, right? You like, well, here's my pro list and here's my con list and I got to think about this and I got to do this and I'm wondering, what about this? And okay, I'm going to go to college. What college should I go? I got this college. Maybe I can go to seminary here or go to seminary there. Or what should I be in life? Should I become a handbell director because that looks really awesome? Or maybe I should become a pastor, or maybe I should become a doctor, or maybe I should go into construction. You can overthink everything. Stop overthinking. Of much study, it wearies your soul. I just did this recently. When we do online stuff with Bible studies and board of directors meetings, we have this special thing. It's called an OWL, and it allows us to do virtual, you know, online and then in person holding these meetings. And we had this laptop that was just absolute garbage. I'm pretty sure it's infected with every piece of malware known to mankind because you click a thing, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, come and check this ad out for Viagra. See, I worked it in a second time. And here's this out of here. And you're like, what? All I want to do is go to Google Calendar. Where's my Google Calendar? Why can't? And then all of a sudden people will be on screen and they'll be like, hi, yeah, we're. Are you okay? Horrible. And so I knew that I needed to get a different computer. And so I went and I started doing research. Have you ever tried to research laptop computers? That's what this is referring to right here. And then you go on Amazon, and which one is the highly rated, and which one has the most reviews, and which one talks about this, and I don't even know what I need. Do I need better video? Do I need higher RAM? Do I need a better processor? I have no idea. Bob says you should go high processor, and so I found Radeon, and I'm like, what is Radeon? And he's like, you should get an i5. I don't know what an i5 is, and Radeon doesn't even do i5, but it's a Radeon 5000, so it's 5000, something like that. And so I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, do I need 4 gigs of RAM? Do I need 8 gigs? Finally, I'm like, forget it. Purchase. Click. Oh my gosh, that felt so good. And then we just used it the other day and it worked. You can overthink a lot of things in life, but God's going to boil it down to you. Are you ready? Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Are you excited? This is it. What is God going to say to you about your life, here is what you are to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of mankind. Fear God and keep his commandments. Now that should be very freeing to you. A lot of people hear things like, wait, keep his commandments, but I don't like the commandments. And then we start focusing on the commandments so much, and we're like, oh my gosh, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do. Do you realize that there's not that much stuff you can't do and pretty much everything else you can do? Does God tell you which college you should go to? No. Does God tell you when you should have children? No. Does God tell you when you should retire? No. Does God tell you what job you should take? No. There is so much in life that you are free to do. So go and live your life. And that's why at the end it says, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. Why you do it is important, and that if you are going out and you are living life and you are celebrating all that God is doing, continue to just keep the commandments in mind. Make sure that what you are doing is not violating God's scripture. If it's violating God's scripture, well, now you have a problem. Otherwise, then go and enjoy. Enjoy your life. Celebrate. And you are young and you are abounding in lots of energy. Some of you are even younger than that and you are like energy suckers. You just suck the energy. That's the reason why all us other people are always tired, because you suck all our energy. Go and enjoy your life. And if you are older and the grinders aren't working very well, and the windows are going a little dim, and the energy level is just low, God still has a purpose for you. Fear God and keep his commands. Stop overanalyzing absolutely everything. Pray. Father, thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes. What a wonderful book that teaches us, that tells us, that motivates us, that instructs us, and that we then have the opportunity to do so much. And I pray that as we have our eyes further towards Easter, as we think of all that you have done, we want to live our lives to your glory. Lord, maybe we're older and maybe we should take that trip. Or maybe we're younger and we need to go on that mission activity. Lord, maybe we're older and we just need to go ahead and spend more time with our grandkids because they bring us life, wisdom, and grow. But Lord, thank you that you have given us life, you've given us faith, you've given us joy, and I pray that we would now go out and live the life you have called us to. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Savior.